chapter 4.
Let me get it here.
Yep, 32 to 35. Okay, 32, 30. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity to be together, be in your presence. This chance to be reminded of your love for each and every one of us. That you have given to us what we need in order to live this life the way that you want us to live it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word made flesh for your son, Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to open up our hearts and minds to receive what it is that you have for us. We pray, Lord, that the word being expounded upon is a pleasing offering to you, for you to use for your glory alone. We praise this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 4, 32 to 35, 37. Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each of as any had in need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Sunday of after Easter can be it's a notoriously difficult Sunday. It's like it's a Sunday where many people ask, "What now?" You know, have you ever had something in your life where you plan for it, you plan for it, you plan for it, you plan for it, and then all of a sudden it happens, and then when it's done happening, you're thinking, "Now what?" I mean, you just spent your entire energy, all of your plans, focus on this one thing, and now that it's done, it's where do you go from here? Easter oftentimes feels a lot like that. We just spent the last 6 weeks in Lent, and we went all the way through Lent, focusing on Jesus' change. Focusing on taking ourselves and giving ourselves to God because we need Christ in our lives for everything. And then we spent the week before Easter having churches had Holy Wednesday services, Monday Thursday services, Good Friday services. We had the Easter egg hunt on Saturday, and then sunrise service on Sunday, and then regular service on Sunday. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of focus. And now we find ourselves after the Sunday after Easter, and, you know, a lot of churches don't know what to do with it. Did you know that this is actually a named Sunday? You know how I've talked about named Sundays before? In the life of the church, there's, you know, of course, there's Easter, and then we got a whole bunch of named Sundays coming up. We got Ascension of Our Lord Jesus Sunday. We got Pentecost Sunday coming up. We got Trinity Sunday coming up. This is also a named Sunday. Now, we're not going to focus upon celebrating it today so much, but maybe next year. I didn't learn about this till just several years ago. It's called Holy Humor Sunday. Ever heard of that one? It's fine. It's where you celebrate the fact that Christ gave us laughter and enjoyment. And the reason it's after Sunday is because, or after Easter Sunday, is because historically, in the life of the big church, you know, like all the churches across the United States, your biggest attendant attendance-wise, Sunday is, and your least attended Sunday is Sunday after Easter. And so they wanted to make something fun to bring the people back. So they did Holy Humor Sunday. You know, it's, the church doesn't even know what to do with this Sunday. It's just like, where do we go now? But the neat thing is when we look in the Bible, the last word in all the Gospels, except for Mark, Mark, people had to add it because it made them feel funny. But in the other Gospels, the last word does not end at the resurrection of Jesus. It's not the end of the story. It's not over. The Gospel message isn't Jesus rose from the dead, and that's it. It goes on. Jesus had a greater plan. Raising from the dead was absolutely part of it, but now Jesus would ascend to heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father, and we're going to talk about that on Ascension Sunday when that comes up. But it's all for a purpose, all for a reason, that things change at this point. Where Jesus would do the ministering, where Jesus would go out and do the miracles, now he's passing the reins. He's giving over the responsibilities now to another group of people. The neat thing about this is that what Jesus is doing is something that is natural to humanity. See, as I mentioned to the kids just a little bit ago, that when Jesus had died, it said that the people, the disciples scattered. When you strike the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. But then after they scattered, a few days later, they came back to one another. Because they all had that same question, which we have now, which is, what next? What do we do? How do we go on from here? And though they were afraid, they met together in a locked room because no one person knew that they had the answer. They knew that they needed each other. And so they gathered together and they started asking each other, what happens next? And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to the group of them and says, what are you sitting around here for? I had a job for you to do. Now, here's what I want you to do. What's interesting about this is that Jesus didn't pick out, okay, you, John, I want you to go here, and Peter, I want you to go here, and Frank, I want you to go here, and Jimmy, I want you to go there. But he says, I want you guys to stay together, to stay here until the Holy Spirit comes, which we'll talk about more during Pentecost. And I want you just to wait. So all this happens, the Pentecost comes, Holy Spirit comes down, the birth of the church happens, and then what do? Do they scatter to the four winds? No, they stay together, and a church blossoms in Jerusalem, and this church in Jerusalem all love one another and see one another, and there's no needs in the... You start to see a theme here. This theme of fellowship. This theme of people binding together. And where'd that come from? It came from the gospel. It says in our scripture in Acts today that as they gathered together, the apostles would come and they would preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they would share with one another their material items. It's what we celebrate on Easter that brings us together. What we celebrate last Sunday that helps the story continue. Because that gospel message, that beautiful message of Jesus rising from the dead is not Jesus rose from the dead in order to forgive me of my sins. Jesus rose from the dead in order to save me from my sinfulness and the things that I do in life. The story is not Jesus rose from the dead in order that I may experience freedom. As Jesus rose from the dead, well, let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And not God so loved me that he sent Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. And so this message that we have, I think the early church realized it to such the point where they knew that they wanted to share what they had with one another. Now that Jesus rose from the dead, death had no meaning. No, where, O thou death, is thy sting? And so they knew that what they could do is share what they had with one another in this life. That the life that they had to live here in this world, they knew that they could use it to the best of their ability because they would be with Christ for all eternity. And so this knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ made them desire to be with other people, to share that message, to go into all the world so that they may gather together and worship Jesus Christ, to be the hands and feet of Christ for the community in which they were in. So where do we go from here? We might ask ourselves the Sunday after Easter. I'm not exactly sure. But because of what Jesus did for us upon the cross and what God did for us by raising Jesus from the dead, what I know is that what we do from here, we do together. What we do from here, we do with one another. Because it's together which we experience in much of its fullness the strength of Jesus Christ. We're not alone, not only because Jesus is with us for all eternity, but because Christ gave to us each other. It's one of the great blessings and gifts. And also a desire to help each other grow. Desire to share the story to others so that they too may experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit within our midst. We thank God for that so very, very much. Please let us stand together.